Program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers.
Boker Tov, I'm Rachel, and this is my co-host,
Sonia.
And this is Israel is Real. We support the Jewish nation by putting a human face and a positive spin on all things Israel. We tell you the story of an ordinary people living in an extraordinary land. Israel is real. Boker Tov l'kol ha'mazinim.
Tzoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
Shalom to all our listeners from WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. I want to remind you that we're very grateful for your support, and we hope you're going to keep it coming. If you would like to donate or advertise or just simply give us some feedback, you can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. That's israelisreal1590@gmail.com. We'd like to bring a word from your sponsor before we get going.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's email alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, visit Vision's website, www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Well, Boker Tov, Sonia.
Boker Tov.
We like to bring you a Hebrew word each week. And we have a very special Hebrew word, and the word today is din.
Well, and din, it's coming from the verb ladun, which means to sentence, to rule, to govern, to punish, to contend, to argue, to discuss, and in the end, it's to judge. And I would go with another two possibilities.
What are those?
Din v'cheshbon.
Din v'cheshbon meaning?
Which means report and sentence and justice and law and etc. But the second one, it will be dinei nefashot.
Nefashot coming from?
Souls. You are ruling about souls. And this is the exactly translation will be criminal justice. Only that in Hebrew it's much more strong.
Oh, wow. This seems a really interesting word, Dean. Judging, sentencing, ruling, and discussing criminal justice and law, which is a great lead-in to our guest today. We have a very special guest today, and we're very, very, very grateful to have her. She's all over the world. Professor Alan Dershowitz's best-selling book, The Case for Israel, appeared at a particularly key moment, which was in 2003. And that was when Israel was fighting back against terror, as always seems to be the case. But not only just physically fighting back against terror, there was also a lot of media coverage and information, including facts, and a lot of misinformation in the academy and in the United Nations as well. Israel faces an onslaught of distorted criticism. And although terrorism in Israel has diminished somewhat in the recent years due to many actions that Israel has taken, the information battle actually has not. And it's actually grown and grown and grown. We have a movie, a film that's come out called The Case for Israel, which has been turned in, that Alan Dershowitz's book has actually been turned into a very important movie called The Case for Israel, which was produced by our guest today, Gloria Greenfield. Shalom, Gloria. Boker Tov.
Shalom, and thank you very much for inviting me to come talk to you this morning.
It's our pleasure, and actually we're quite honored. We're very honored. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into producing film?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have about 30 years' experience in strategic planning and marketing, which I've been able to apply to the focus of my work, which is related to Jewish identity, Israel engagement, and Jewish education. Mm-hmm. And throughout my career, I've been experimenting and utilizing various menus for educating and advocating for developing Jewish identity, and also in advocating for Israel and educating about Israel. So I've worked with journalism, and I've worked with radio, and I've worked with book publication. I was a book publisher. And today, in today's world, one of the most effective venues is film. So I did have some experience with film when I was working in the corporate world, from a more commercial perspective. But I was really looking forward to the opportunity to be able to work with film for advocacy work. So when Michael Yochai and I were introduced, we had a mutual friend who introduced us, hoping that we would agree to work together on this film. I enthusiastically agreed to partner on this, the making of this film.
Michael Yochai is a filmmaker? Or?
Well, Michael Yochai was the head of the film unit for the IDF for 12 years, and he came to Boston for a few years when his wife got a fellowship at Harvard Medical School, and he had a few years to think about some ideas, and one of his ideas was to direct a film that related to Alan's book. I have a lot of experience in producing large events, national conferences, major projects, and it seemed that our skills were very complementary.
It seems so, and you produced a wonderful film.
Thank you.
And actually, why this film? What is behind the Doc Emmett?
Well,
first the translation for
okay.
Our
so
listeners.
Doc Emmett. The name Doc Emmett Productions, which is the name of the production company, is referring to Emmett is a Hebrew word for truth, and film is a very powerful venue. And it could be used to convey truth and clarity. And it can also be used to convey distortions, which, unfortunately, we have quite a bit out there. So Doc Emmett Productions is committed to conveying truth and clarity about democracy and freedom and Jewish identity. And we wanted to put it right out there that those were our values. Those are our values. Mm-hmm. So that's why we named that's why Doc Emmett Productions is named Doc Emmett Productions. But in your question, like, why this film? Why this film now? there was no choice. This film had to be made. Because nearly 62 years after the establishment of the State of Israel, there's still anti-Jewish and anti-Israel racist elements out there that are challenging Israel's right to exist. And their questioning of Israel's legitimacy is one of their weapons against the Jewish state. Of the 195 countries in the world, as you know, Israel is the only country whose legitimacy is under question.
Unfortunately, it's baffling.
So Doc Emmett Productions brought together the most expert and articulate Israeli and North American judicial, academic, and political leaders, which represent left of center, center, and right of center. And together, these 29 world-renowned experts present a unified voice in making the case for Israel's legitimacy as a Jewish state and her right to defend her citizens and her borders against hostile neighbors. And we wanted the unity in this film to serve as a model of unity for all individuals and organizations who support democratic values and freedom to come together with a strong voice in support of Israel and her right to exist as a Jewish state and her right to defend her citizens and her borders. And I'd like to share that the full name of the film is The Case for Israel, Democracy's Outpost.
I love that title. Mm-hmm. I love that title. I know that the film features many celebrity figures in the political world, including such figures as ex-president Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. Who recently we kind of see has come out as very anti-Israel. Also, as you mentioned, Alan Dershowitz, mm-hmm. Who's a Harvard Law professor and who is very active in his support of Israel, as well as a lot of other key, what I would call, players or mm-hmm. figures regarding Israel. So we know that the world is changing very quickly, but we know from one thing that remains the same is the need to defend Israel. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get it. Why is there this constant need to defend Israel, the state of Israel?
You know, 7 years ago, the Honorable Erwin Kotler from Canada sounded the alarm about a new virulent, globalizing, and even lethal anti-Jewishness that's reminiscent of the atmospherics of the 1930s and without parallel or precedent since the end of the Second World War. And Kotler contends that this new anti-Jewishness overlaps with classical anti-Semitism, but it's distinguishable from it. While anchored in the Zionism is racism resolution that was passed in 1975 by the UN General Assembly, this new anti-Semitism goes beyond the classical anti-Semitism. And Kotler defines the new anti-Semitism as the discrimination against, the denial of, or the assault upon national particularity and peoplehood anywhere, whenever that national particularity and peoplehood happens to be Jewish. And he warns that in its most benign form, it finds particular expression in the singling out of Israel and the Jewish people for differential and discriminatory treatment in the international arena, where the United Nations human rights bodies are used as the mask or protective cover for this anti-Jewishness. And as an example, the 2001 World Conference Against Racism in Durban and the second Durban Conference, which was held in Geneva earlier this year.
Which we know turned out to be extremely anti-Semitic venues mm-hmm. and forums. Mm-hmm. Which is surprising, them being actually against racism, which they turned out to be prime examples of. Mm-hmm. We're going to come back with you, Gloria, in a minute. We've got to step out for a break for a moment. So, Gloria Greenfield, and this is Israel is Real.
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
Why CNN is in trouble. I'm Bill O'Reilly. The Talking Points memo is next. Save up to 50% off your heating costs with the original SunHeat electronic zone heating systems. SunHeat is safe, comfortable, soft heat for any area of your home. No other portable zone heater puts out more heat, period. SunHeat efficiently heats up to 1,000 square feet. It cannot start a fire, and the solid wood cabinet gives it the appearance of fine furniture. Cut your heating cost in half with the original SunHeat electronic zone heating system. For more information, go to sunheat.com.
Do you owe back taxes, being audited? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help solve your tax problems today. Call 1-877-202-7222 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Call Taxmasters right now at 877-202-7222 or go to txmstr.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
Talking Points respects CNN, generally speaking, although the network has a few nutty commentators, which network doesn't. But overall, CNN provides solid information to the American public and has done so for decades. But now, CNN is in dire trouble. Like many American newspapers, it is having trouble attracting an audience. In October, CNN was fourth in the primetime ratings, and there isn't one program on the network that is successful. They are all poorly rated. But why? I think it's because the CNN business model is obsolete. They rarely are provocative over there, preferring to be cautious in their presentations. In this age of hyper-partisanship, that comes off as boring. And because most Americans get information from the net, there are few surprises coming from CNN. I want CNN to stay around because they are a worthy competitor. But there's trouble. That's a memo. I'm Bill O'Reilly on Westwood One.
Laura, that was an amazing meal. The guys really went to town on that leg of lamb.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it.
It's hard to believe how much you and Jim have done with the house in such a short amount of time. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, we love it too. And the kids are really thriving in school here. But...
But what? Something's wrong. I know you too well.
Jim's company is cutting his salary, and he may even get laid off. He doesn't think we'll be able to afford the mortgage.
Oh, Laura. You know what? My cousin Susan and her husband were in a similar situation, but they got some terrific advice for free from a housing counselor from the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. You need to be careful who you can trust these days with so many so-called mortgage consultants out there. The NFCC is nonprofit and has been around for more than 50 years.
If you think you're in danger of foreclosure, call the NFCC today at 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org. That's mortgagehelpnow.org, a public service from the NFCC.
Jerry Doyle talks about the news of the day on your way home. Afternoons at 4, only on 1590 WSMN.
We're back with Israel is Real on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. And we're your hosts, Rachel and
Sonia.
We're just two Israelis putting on a human face on all things Israel. We're on the air with your support, and we're very grateful. Again, I remind you that you can reach us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com, if you would like to donate, advertise, or even give us some feedback. We will be opening up the call-in lines at some point, but just bear with us. And we're talking today with Gloria Greenfield, who is the film producer of The Case for Israel. And I'm sure that she has also been concerned in the past and in regards to this film about intellectual property rights. She might have considered consulting Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main and Associates at their offices on 100 Main Street in Nashua. You can also find them on the web at vernmain.com, www.vernmain.com, vernmaine.com, vernmain.com. We're going to play you a bit of a song, actually by myself, Rachel, which we feel is relevant to our subject today, Straight in the Eye. There's a world full of lies, if that's what you see, if that's all you be. There's a world full of lies, if that's what you feel, if that's what is real for you. There's a world that is battered and tattered and shattered, where evil is lurking and waiting to pounce. If that's all you see, if that's all you be, if that's what you feel,
I'm impressed. Okay, for you, Gloria, I think that in a paradoxal way, we have two nations in four lands. Jews and Arabs are in Israel with the legitimate rights. In Jordan, which even today refused to integrate his brothers from the 1948 partition, and Syria, who does the same. Now there is a demanding to have a fourth country, Palestine, and this country must exist in the same land in place of Israel. Why is this kind of pressure on Israel? Why we always need to make concessions?
You know, there's this concept in propaganda called turnspeak.
Turnspeak. Can you explain what that
is? Turnspeak. Turnspeak actually first emerged, and Joan Peters, who's a former Middle East analyst and consultant, did a lot of work on this. But turnspeak first got identified in the 30s when Hitler had his eyes on Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. and positioned Czechoslovakia as being the problem so that the other countries would sit idly by while Czechoslovakia was handed over and decimated to the Nazis. But it's a strategy that's used where you do something bad make an imperialistic move on somebody or on a people or on a country, and then you turn it around so it looks like the victim is actually the aggressor. And that's what's been happening with Israel. The Arab countries, Israel's enemies, have been very adept at utilizing turnspeak, where everything gets positioned so that it's Israel's fault. And we could look at that with the refugee problem, what people call the refugee problem, where in fact Israel's enemies decided that they were not going to integrate the Arabs who left Israel when Israel was established.
Exactly.
Many of them left because they were advised by the Arab countries to leave so that the Arabs could go in and destroy Israel and drive the Israeli Jews into the sea, and assured them that they'll be able to go back and get a lot of other things once the Israelis are driven into the sea. And so the majority of Arabs who left Israel wound up in these refugee camps in these neighboring Arab countries because these Arab countries didn't want to integrate them into their societies and cultures. And the reason why they didn't want to do that, for the most part, was because their political capital for these countries. They can say to the world, oh, look at these poor refugees, because they're doing turnspeak with it. They're telling the world, and the world perception has been that it's Israel's fault that there are refugees who are living in camps, and this is the only situation in the world where generations of refugees, the generations that come out of these refugees are they themselves counted as refugees.
Right, it's the only case in the history.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So this is a form of turnspeak, and it's in the interest of Israel's enemies for this world perception to look at Israel and say that Israel is the aggressor. Israel is, violent, and Israel is oppressing all of these poor people who have been driven from their home and land. It's just it's distorted information that, unfortunately, the world has been too eager and willing to accept.
It brings me to a thought about the information and the misinformation that's out there, especially. Really, mostly about Israel, it seems, for some reason, but especially that occurs in the universities, in college courses, and even at the hands of professors. As we know, some of our children have actually been in classes with professors who are spitting out misinformation and calling themselves experts. And on the college campuses, where we know that there is a mound of people standing at booths and creating booths and handing out lots of handouts with what I would call propaganda and filled with misinformation. So your film, The Case for Israel, is actually a very good tool that can be used to help separate the facts from the propaganda and also to raise awareness. I'm just wondering if it's being used as such. Where are you actually, is it being seen? Is it being used on the campuses? Are professors able to use this? And what is the reaction? Is it able to provide a balanced perspective on the Arab-Israeli conflict when it is being shown?
Yeah, so I'd like to share with you, not just the campuses, but every place that the film is showing, so you could see what kind of impact it's having. So the film was released a year ago on October 19th, 2008, at the Haifa International Film Festival.
Mazel tov.
Yeah. And following the world premiere in Haifa, the film then began traveling throughout Poland and Croatia and South Africa and Australia and the United States and Canada and Chile and Ecuador and Australia.
Wow.
And Japan. it's opening in Argentina in November. And we're working on scheduling screenings in Greece and Germany and Spain.
All in within a short
1 year.
Year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we've also released a multi-language DVD with six language subtitles. So it's out in Arabic and Hebrew and French and German and Spanish and Russian. And there's also a Japanese subtitled version out there as well.
Amazing.
So now getting back to campuses, it's been playing on campuses all over North America, all over the United States and Canada and Australia and Israel. And one of the wonderful things that's been happening is that we've been working with leading international organizations. So we have about 15 national and international organizations that are bringing the film onto campuses and into communities. And it's on a campus, it's a very empowering resource for pro-Israel students, because on the campuses, there tends to be a very intimidating environment for pro-Israel students. Actually, there's been violence on some campuses. It's not related to the film, but just in general. Mm-hmm. We know that there was violence at York University. We know there was in Toronto. We know that there's been violence at Concordia University, San Francisco State, UC Irvine. This film has in it so much information, and it has in it role models of very courageous people, informed people who speak in a very articulate way, that it encourages students to stand up and voice their advocacy for Israel. So it's had a remarkable impact. And I can share with you, in Australia, the Zionist Federation of Australia that's been partnering with us invited all the members of parliament in Australia to a private screening. And after the screening, the members of parliament decided that they were going to draft a resolution demanding the release of Gilad Shalit.
Wow.
And that kind of...
goosebumps.
Yeah,
you just gave me goosebumps.
And so there has been action that's been coming out of using the film as both an educational tool and also as an advocacy tool.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. You know, I've been traveling around the country with the film for the past year, and I've been on many campuses. And when I travel around and go onto a campus, I often look to see if there's any anti-Israel meetings taking place, mm-hmm. because I want to sit in and listen to what's happening. I want to understand what campaigns they're working on. I want to deal with reality. And I have to say that it's it's a very sobering experience because there's a lot of hate. And a lot of the hate is based on ignorance and distortion and lies. And on the majority of campuses, the pro-Israel students have very little support from faculty and administration. There are some exceptions, but those are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not by accident that the campus is being used as a focus in this international campaign to demonize and delegitimate the Jewish state. I mean, on these campuses, these students are our future leaders of the world.
And they're very vulnerable.
Yeah. And, you know, if their understanding of human rights and democratic values and get distorted, then they carry that into their future leadership. And the legacy that our generation leaves, if we don't support them, is devastation. And I really believe that it's our responsibility to safeguard freedom and democracy and human rights so that these precious values can be passed on to the next generation. The consequence of not doing that is just tragic.
I agree totally. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that it's in Arabic. We have about a minute. I don't know if you've had any feedback on anybody who's seen it who is an Arab speaker in the Arab language.
Well, one of the... I have to say that one of my favorite reviews is when I read from an anti-Israel Arabic website when they referred to the film as that despicable film. I accepted that as a badge of honor.
Well, I hope that changes. I hope that maybe they'll see the film and maybe that will help change their perception as well. We've got to cut for another break, and we'll be back with Gloria Greenfield, The Case for Israel.
There's a world that is crumbling down to the ground. Just look around. There's a darkness that lingers if you want to lose. If that's what you choose to be, instead of free, look it straight in the eye, see it all there, straight in the eye.
FM 1590 WSMN
and WSMNRadio.com.
Sparkling River Condominiums is ideally located along the Merrimack River in Hudson, New Hampshire. It is the perfect blend of a classic New England setting and contemporary interior design. Age restricted for people 55 and over, Sparkling River offers four different floor plans, all having attached garages and full basements. Our superbly constructed homes enjoy many upgraded features as standard and are serviced by town utilities, natural gas, and high-speed internet. The low monthly fee permits a maintenance-free lifestyle for the residents. The Sparkling River model is open for viewing Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.sparklingrivernh.com. That's www.sparklingrivernh.com. Or give us a call at 603-882-2210. That's 603-882-2210. Sparkling River, an outstanding value and a great place to call home.
If you're a parent, listen closely to the voices of meningitis.
On Tuesday, Becky was sick. On Wednesday, she was gone.
I was there for my son's first breath and his last.
The infection spread so fast.
David got it when he was 13.
Terry was only 5.
Tyler lost fingers.
My kidneys.
Both feet. It moved so fast.
Both of my legs.
Lost his life.
I thought it was a virus.
What happened?
10 toes are now none.
In just a single day, she was gone.
My son did not have to die.
The role of a parent is to protect.
Parents need to know.
Parents need to know.
Preteens and teens
are at greater risk.
Talk to your child's health care provider.
We are the voices of meningitis.
Listen to the voices of meningitis. Get preteens and teens vaccinated. This is Lori Loughlin adding my voice. Meningococcal meningitis may be rare, but it's often devastating. You can help prevent it. Get vaccinated. The National Association of School Nurses urges you to talk to your child's school nurse or healthcare provider and visit voicesofmeningitis.org.
Do you really know the score regarding your personal finances? Your credit score, that is. Many consumers tend to sit on the bench and don't have all the facts about personal credit reports. But the National Foundation for Credit Counseling wants you to get in the game, review your credit report, and understand how to improve it. Federal law entitles you to one free credit report from each of the main credit reporting agencies each year, and ordering just one is not enough. You need to see if there are any differences among the three major credit reporting agencies. Fixing mistakes can go a long way toward improving your credit score and improving your financial health. You need to request the reports either online, by phone, or by mail, and again, they're available free of charge. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling can help request your credit report and explain what it all means. Their certified counselors can also advise you on sound financial practices that can help improve your score. For more information about credit reports, call the NFCC at 1-800-388-2227. This has been a public service message from the NFCC.
There's no limit on the amount of information you can download from us. We're 1590 WSMN.
We're back with Israel is Real on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Again, we're your hosts, Rachel and
Sonia.
And we're just two Israelis, putting a human face on all things Israel. Don't forget that we would love to your continued support in donations or advertisements and also your feedback. Excuse me. You can find us or write to us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com. israelisreal1590 at gmail.com. Vision.
Hey, did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel and informs you of how its technical advances personally benefit you? Did you know Israel's researchers developed a heart pump that saves the lives of people with congestive heart failure? To receive Vision's email alert and be informed about Vision's educational activities and opportunities, visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
We're back with Gloria Greenfield, the film producer who has produced an amazingly incredible, important film for this time called The Case for Israel.
And here I am. I like have one question with two heads. Mm-hmm. One is the problem of having other kind of conduits, political conduits for Israel, double standards. And the other one is the question that the people are getting confused about how a Jewish state can be in the same time a democratic state. They see those two items as somehow contradictory. Can you please explain this for us?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to answer the second question first.
Good.
The film is organized into six chapters, and it opens up with J'accuse, which is sort of an expose of Jimmy Carter's distortions and misinformation and accusations. And then it's followed by historical facts. And then it's followed by democracy and difficult choices. And then we go into issues around justice and then threats and end it with fortitude. And it's this third chapter where Professor Dershowitz addresses the question, how can you have a Jewish democracy? You know, isn't that a contradiction in terms? And after he asks the question, he explains that a Jewish state doesn't mean that Israel is a state ruled by Jewish law, by Jewish religious law, what Jews would call halachic law. And nor is Israel a state only for Jews. You know, what is Israel as a Jewish state means, Professor Dershowitz explains, is a state in which Jewish values can be expressed, in which the flag is a Jewish flag based on the tallit, on the Jewish prayer shawl, and in which the national anthem, you know, proudly talks about Nefesh Yehudi, the heartbeat of a Jew, just like France is a French state and Canada is a Canadian state. But Israel is not a Jewish state in the way that every Arab country is a Muslim state. And another law professor who's a commentator in the film, Amnon Rubinstein, adds to that, that when you speak about the nationality, you speak about the nation state, the nation being the Jews, the Jewish people who have a right of self-determination within the Jewish state.
Just like I would imagine French people have a right to French national values and morals and everywhere else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Americans.
Exactly. Like exactly like England is the land for the English person. Mm-hmm. Exactly like Finland is the land for the Finnish. Exactly like Holland is for Dutch. Exactly in the same way Eretz Israel was and is the land for the Jewish people for 3,500 years.
Mm-hmm. We are so chock full of questions, and we're trying to sort of find the ones that are really, I don't know, burning inside of us. It's so hard to decide, because this film really brings up so many important questions and issues. I'm going to ask one now regarding radical Islam. In the eyes of radical Islam and Israel, they see Israel and the USA as partners, in mirror images of each other. The Western world, it appears to be kind of blind to this ideology. And it's an ideology, though, that's clearly expressed through the leadership of Iran, for example, and which states that you can destroy Israel. And in their eyes, which is the point that I guess people aren't really realizing, the next step is that if you can destroy Israel, then you can also destroy America and then finally become a world power. In the movie, Benjamin Netanyahu, who we know fondly as Bibi, he reminds us that it never ends with the Jews. So I'm just, this question has always sort of come to my mind. Are we still very, so very immersed, excuse me, in a romantic Hollywood Lawrence of Arabia kind of love affair, which is a love affair essentially with an image? What's the real reality of this situation?
Well, you know, like in thinking about, you know, what people feel that they, you know, what they love or what they find to be like the heroes in the world, I suppose that, you know, it depends upon whether you value democracy and freedom or if one prefers, you know, totalitarian governments. I mean, I personally am not inclined to have any romantic inclinations for countries or societies that torture, rape, and murder citizens who speak out for human rights or want to own their own choice of who they will marry, or if a woman wants to drive a car, I mean, you know, she should be able to drive a car and not be thrown in jail. Mm-hmm. If one chooses to live as a Christian or a Jew in one of these totalitarian countries, I find absolutely nothing compelling or romantic. But I suppose that, you know, there are people who think that that's something to be admired. I don't understand, like, what their values are. I find it particularly odd when so-called progressives, you know, who claim to be committed to human rights, you know, support these totalitarian countries and protest against the one democratic country in the region that supports human rights. To me, it indicates some kind of psychological imbalance. I just don't understand it, and I get particularly frustrated when I see feminists and gay activists who are out there protesting against Israel and supporting these totalitarian regimes that would put that would stone women to death for, you know, not behaving in the way that they feel a subservient woman should behave, and for stoning to death or hanging someone who's gay.
Perhaps it's a quest of an ideal that we would like to all see, but that's not really the reality, is it?
Well, I think it's more of a, you know, sort of a non-thinking allegiance to political correct jargon without really thinking about what's behind that jargon.
Exactly. You mentioned human rights. It looks like today the Human Rights Committee has also been hijacked by the nations, the United Nations, and many nations that they themselves are guilty of killings, murders, gender based on gender or sexual preferences, and all sorts of other things on race. The question is, are our morals and values here being sold at some kind of a retail clearance price? I mean, what's that all about?
You know, first of all, it's crazy when one looks at who the members of the Human Rights Council is, the Human Rights Council of the UN,
mm-hmm.
And that this body of representatives of totalitarian governments are actually there as a, I mean, this is a body that wouldn't even pass a human rights resolution.
It's incredible,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Now, the United States had withdrawn from the Human Rights Commission when it was the commission. It decided that it wasn't going to give credibility to such a body. But the current administration has decided that it was going to participate in that. And, you know, the jury is out whether anything positive could come out of that. The most recent horrible thing that the Human Rights Council of the UN just passed was they accepted the what was called the Goldstone Commission report.
Correct. Yes.
Which was a so-called investigation into alleged war crimes against humanity in Gaza, and it turns out that the investigation, the report, had absolutely no legitimacy or credibility because it did not even it actually had statements like that there was no Palestinian resistance that happened at all in there. It didn't ask the civilians questions about houses in the civilian neighborhoods being booby-trapped.
Correct.
I mean, it's just human rights has been distorted. It's been turned on its head.
Hijacked.
Right.
Your film brings up the issue of the security wall that Israel built, which has proved to provide significant protection against suicide bombers. And I would like to make a short point here about walls around the world that exist for the same reason, more or less. The Great Wall of Morocco, known as the Security Belt, is a defense wall, 2,720 kilometers, about 2,020 miles long, and was built to protect Morocco from the hostile intention of the Polisario. In Saudi Arabia, they built a concrete wall with sophisticated electronic monitoring device in order to prevent Yemeni infiltration into their country. It cost over $700 million and also imposed itself on 7 kilometers on Yemeni land. In the Iraqi borders, the Saudi Arabia built another ultra-modern barrier 900 kilometers long. In Spain, there exists an electric barrier that is also quoted by soldiers in order not to have illegal entry of citizens from Morocco and the Sahara, who are trying to escape famine. So nobody is concerned about others' walls. And I can go on and on. It's only a very small example. What's going on? What is so impossible to understand that we need to stay alive?
Well, obviously, from looking at the response to the UN's response to the Goldstone's Commission report, where basically what their conclusion is that Israel doesn't have the right to defend herself, that for Israel to defend her citizens from the 10,000 rockets that have been fired from Gaza into Sderot and surrounding areas, killing and maiming civilians, women, children, and other civilians, Israel doesn't have the right to defend herself according to this world body and according to many other countries that are hostile to Israel. So why would they accept a security barrier in Israel that was saving the lives of both Israelis and Arabs who are living in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and in other cities? I mean, just in their naming, only 4% of the security barrier is actually a wall. 4%.
That's it.
Well, Gloria, this has been really fabulous having you here today. I wish we could have a couple of hours with you. Just in brief, we're coming to the end of our show, but could you just tell us where we can find you, your film, if anybody wants to invite you and take part in your activities and just see the film and get a hold of it?
Well, if people want to visit www.thecaseforisrael.com, again, it's www.thecaseforisrael.com, you'll be able to see the screening schedule, the whole history of where it's screening and all the upcoming schedules. People could order the DVD right from the website, and they could also be in touch with me through the website.
Incredible. That's Gloria Greenfield, The Case for Israel. And
as the sun sets in Israel, we welcome Shabbat, the Sabbath day. Our Torah portion this week is Lech Lecha from Genesis. Lech Lecha means go to yourself. As we now understand, we live in a time where there is a wealth of information available to us and then bombard us continually in a daily basis. How do we discern what is worthy and virtuous? How do we set out to achieve our goals in a manner that is conducive to our essence and assist us in maintaining our integrity? Shabbat Shalom from Israel is Real.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Israel is Real. If WSMN 1590. You can reach us at IsraelIsReal 1590 at gmail.com. A little bit more music to take us out. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
There's a world that is battered and tattered and shattered, where evil is lurking and waiting to pounce. If that's all you see.
The new way to wake up.
Morning Liftoff
with George Russell. Only on 1590 WSMN Nashua.